Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. I was just reading a story about a new breakfast restaurant that just opened up on Decatur Street in the French Quarter. It's simply called French Toast. That's the name of the place.
Straightforward, to the point, says what it is. I like it.
Yeah, you kind of know what you're getting. This restaurant is owned by the same people that own the restaurant Toast on Laurel Street. And then they got one on Gentilly Boulevard as well. So I guess they're having some success with the Toast. And this, they just added the French in front of it. But I like this. And it's basically going to feature breakfast. You know what's going to be big on their menu? Nutella.
Now, are you a Nutella fan? Because I don't really, that's powerfully sweet to me.
I've never had it.
If you're not familiar, it's the chocolate hazelnut spread. And I like hazelnut. There was an iced coffee in my Keurig that I could make hazelnut. And that was not too bad. But Nutella, that's heavy duty. You got to be strong into really sweet chocolate and hazelnut.
I've never had Nutella. The only time I became familiar with Nutella, we talked about it on the show. It was a couple of months ago. Wasn't there a store that was giving it away for free, or it was buy one, get one free, and people were getting into fights? They're trying to get in, and
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. I said, boy, I should check that stuff out because people, they love their Nutella.
Right. Not real big on the list for diabetics, though. I don't believe there's a sugar-free version. Maybe there is. I don't know.
And so that restaurant looks pretty cool. And like I said, the couple who owns a couple of other New Orleans restaurants opened that one up. And when I was reading about that, I just learned, and I never knew this before either. Maybe you did, Brewster. But the late, great Fats Domino, from here, he owned a fried chicken restaurant here in the city of New Orleans.
Did not know that.
I had heard, someone had said through someone that Fats Domino used to own a fried chicken restaurant. Where was it? Well, it opened in 1969. It was called Fats Domino's New Orleans Style Fried Chicken, and it was on South Claiborne Avenue. They wanted to be like Popeyes. Like Popeyes is now. They wanted it franchisees to buy them, and they figured they had the name Fats Domino's, right?
Right.
But it never really panned out.
That's very interesting because Mrs. Brewster's mother, the mother-in-law, remembers vaguely a fried chicken establishment. Somewhere in the city, she thought that it started with the letter C, and it was like on the, Claiborne, Carrollton, sort of, but she's not really sure. So I'll have to, if she's not listening now, I'll have to ask her if, in fact, that might be the place. You know, that is actually how, you mentioned franchisees, that's how Kentucky Fried Chicken started. The Colonel didn't open restaurants. The Colonel did this. The Colonel had the highly specific, well, first of all, his famous 11 herbs and spices, the particular, the way he wanted the chickens cut and everything, the fryers, and then the pressure cookers, the deep fryers themselves. You bought all of that from him. You know, you got the chicken locally, but you got the 11 herbs and spices, which were, of course, secret. You got all the equipment and everything from him. And then paying him the franchise fee, that then allowed your restaurant to say, we serve Colonel Sanders Kentucky Fried Chicken. So when I was a kid, we would go to a restaurant in Anderson, Indiana called The Alibi, featuring Kentucky Fried Chicken. So then it took off, and he would open these like in he would go to like little truck stops, and I don't mean the great big super slab truck stops you see now, but like little diners, and sell them the gear and everything, and they would get started. Then the whole thing turned into being so popular that he could open his own brick and mortar Kentucky Fried Chickens, the locations, sure. The first one being in Corbin, Kentucky, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The rest is history.
Well, I don't know if Fats Domino actually owned this,
right,
or they just paid him for his name.
Could be.
Because it was owned, the first one on Claiborne Avenue, it was owned by a guy named J.K. Lane. They had the grand opening in 1969. The first 500 customers who showed up got a free record from Fats Domino. He was there. He would give you an autograph. And then after that was done, they all went to Bourbon Street, where Fats Domino played a gig at a club,
right. Cool.
on Bourbon Street. But I thought that was pretty cool. I'd never heard that story before.
Can't believe it didn't take off.
Yeah, right? It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Last night on national television, on ESPN, the New Orleans Pelicans looked really good. They destroyed the Houston Rockets in Houston. And by the way, most NBA experts are saying the Houston Rockets are either the second or third best team in the NBA this year, behind the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. And then there's the Houston Rockets. And the Pelicans on ESPN, on national television, went there and destroyed them on opening night. Anthony Davis almost got a triple-double. He was incredible. And the kid that they got in the offseason from Gretna, the kid from the West Bank, he did get a triple-double. The Peyton kid. And very excited. I watched them last night, and they looked incredible. Look, I know it's only one game of 82 in the regular season, and you don't get too excited, but boy, oh boy, they went to Houston, and they destroyed them. 131 points they put up, 131 to 112, and I was very excited to watch that last night. The home opener is tomorrow night against the Sacramento Kings. And, boy, they look really good. And I know it's still football season, and I know there's a long way to go, and I know this is a football town, and I know around New Orleans, people really don't really, really start paying attention to the Pelicans until the Saints season is over. But if you have a little bit of room, just a little bit of room in your sports head, boy, they were exciting last night.
We had the game on. We were playing trivia, and by the way, we won for the second week in a row. But this, is it Elfrid?
Elfrid Payton.
Elfrid Payton. We saw him take a hard hit. Is he okay from
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he's fine, yeah.
Good.
He ended up with a triple-double. He's from Gretna, and he's been in the NBA a couple of years. They got him in the offseason. He cut his hair. Right up until last year, he had a haircut. The only guy in the NBA, it looked like he was wearing a baseball cap. He played for Orlando, but he finally...
Well, a baseball cap of hair.
Yeah.
Right.
His hairdo looked like a baseball cap.
Right.
But he cut his hair, and boy, he... Again, I know it's only the first game of the season, but boy, did they look good. They looked... And it just goes to show you, preseason, much like football, it doesn't mean anything. They only play 5 preseason games now in the NBA. The Pelicans were 0-5. They didn't win one preseason game, but it doesn't matter.
But let's get really to the heart of the matter, what everyone's asking themselves if they're listening. Your thoughts on another season under head coach Alvin Gentry. You're not a fan.
I'm not a huge fan of Gentry, but I'll be honest with you, Brewster. The way they played last year, especially the second half, and the way that they made that nice little run in the playoffs last year, and the way they're playing now, hey, keep winning. And just keep them there.
Right.
Keep winning. And I'm going to go tomorrow night. It's the home opener. Sacramento Kings come to town. And I was just... I turned it on last night. I know it was the first game of the season. I just wanted to see. I couldn't believe how they blew out the Houston Rockets in Houston. Again, most NBA experts are saying the Houston Rockets are the third best team in the NBA this year.
Right. Now, when fans come down to greet you courtside, they're at your $4,000 a game seat.
No, they got to come up to the 300s to see Rumson.
Oh, well, okay. Not on the floor anymore, huh?
No. Hopefully, maybe another year here at the radio station. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take to get good seats. But
isn't the floor like $4,000? Something like that?
It all depends who's playing. You can
like per game, isn't it $4,000?
You go to StubHub. Yeah. Courtside to Sacramento won't cost as much as courtside to LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers.
Right.
You know what I mean? Those tickets will be. But it's interesting. You know, you can, for the Pelicans, the day before or the day of the game, a lot of times go to StubHub and you get them. You can get real, real great deals.
Hmm.
But it looks like they're really good. That was fun to watch last night. It really was. All right. Did you see what's going on with Snow White? There are actors and actresses now, well, mostly actresses, who are having concerns about the message Snow White is sending to little girls. Actress Kristen Bell is the latest to voice her concerns about the message Snow White sends to her daughters, because she said, don't you think it's, and I'm quoting, quote, don't you think that it's weird that the prince kisses Snow White without her permission? Because you cannot kiss someone if they're sleeping. And she doesn't know what to tell her young daughters.
Right.
Again, Brewster, and this is something we've talked about over the last year on this show a lot, ever since Harvey Weinstein, the hashtag MeToo movement, it's now gone into the animated world. The cartoon character, the prince in Snow
That's
White.
Frankenstein.
Is now being compared to.
And if you can't picture Kristen Bell, she's the very attractive blonde-haired actress. She does Neutrogena commercials. She's the one that has the wonky eye, and she suffers or deals with a condition called strabismus, where one of her eyes is just a little bit, I guess, turned in toward the center. I think it's fetching. I think it's very cute.
Yeah, she's attractive.
Yes.
No doubt about that. She now remember Snow White. This was made by Walt Disney in 1938. Now, I know we didn't have hashtags. Well, we had hashtags in 1938. There were hashtags, but there was no hashtag
Me
Too.
They were called tic-tac-toe games. That's what hashtags were back then.
She says, quote, every time we close Snow White, I look at my girls and ask, don't you think it's weird that Snow White didn't ask the old witch why she needed to eat the apple or where she got the apple? I say, and I'm continuing Kristen Bell's quote, I would never take food from a stranger, would you? And my kids are like, no. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing something right as a mother. I mean, and her kids are 5 and 3.
So with a straight face, she is putting herself and her kids in the scenario of animated characters and what they might do and how they might react.
Yeah. And another actress, Keira Knightley, she says that her 3-year-old daughter is not allowed to watch Cinderella. Her 3-year-old daughter is banned from watching Cinderella.
Well, a 3-year-old, think about that, A 3-year-old should be watching Pinwheel, bright colors and bling bling spinning around in circles.
But this is why Keira Knightley has banned Cinderella from her 3-year-old daughter. Quote, because she waits around for a rich guy to rescue her. Don't do that. Rescue yourself, obviously.
And if the 3-year-old were to watch this and actually absorb that message, come on. Oh.
This is where we're at?
Goodness.
This is where we're at right now.
So what do we do here? Do we destroy all known prints of Disney's classic Snow White?
This is
and
like
I say that facetiously, and there's some who would probably say, you know, that's not a bad idea.
Hey,
let's just get rid of it.
This is why. Look at some of the old Mark Twain books have been edited. We've talked about that before.
Well, and then if you're going to do that, if you're going to, and we're saying this a bit tongue-in-cheek, but for some of that persuasion who believe that a three-year-old might get the wrong impression from watching a movie, how far does that go from censoring these movies or wanting others to not watch them and, yes, I'm going to say it, book burning. How far are we away from book burning?
It's pretty much the same thing.
It's scary.
And Keira Knightley continued, quote, I mean, the songs in Cinderella are great, but do not give your voice up for a man.
You 3-year-olds?
Yeah. So this is where we're at now. Now it's, I mean, whether it's classic literature with Mark Twain or other books have been edited. With Mark Twain, they wanted to take the N-word out, and you know we've talked about that before. Look, our history, it's not perfect, but it is history.
Well, there are people who can't stand that Margaret Mitchell's "Gone with the Wind" is written in a
that could be next
is written in a. Written in the same, where the speech of that era is written out, and there are some who are just highly offended by that. And by the use of certain words.
Brewster, they may get rid of Cinderella and Snow White. Can you believe that? They might get rid of Cinderella and Snow White.
It's about time.
Well,
honestly, it's about time.
But they're
they need to go away.
Oh, come on. Much like the some of the old Mark Twain books, how they're editing them because they didn't like some words in there. Well, now they don't like the message that Cinderella and Snow White is sending to young girls.
Well, I don't think it's so much editing the books. I think it's making the books not available in certain school libraries. It's like, well, nope, sorry, you can't find that here. And that's.
Well, it's one or the other.
Isn't that choking freedom?
Yeah, it's either you know they take the N-word out of the Mark Twain books, or the kids don't read them in school.
Right.
They're
not available.
Yeah.
For them there.
It's right. One or the other.
Scary.
I mean, do you like that? We should learn from history. We shouldn't erase it. Right. All right. Hang out with us. I'm just. We got a lot to get to on the show today. And, Brewster, I'm so excited about how the Pelicans look. I couldn't believe how they looked last night. Wow. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. As of yesterday, marijuana is now legal in the entire country of Canada. How about that? The weed is legal. Our neighbors to the north. It is good news for the country's medical marijuana patients. Now all of a sudden, they got tired of feeling sick. They're not sick anymore. They can now switch from medicinal marijuana to recreational marijuana, and they don't have to fake being sick anymore. As a matter of fact, yesterday people were smoking so much in Canada, Alaska got a contact high. So that's going on up north. And down south, on our border. Do you see the Hondurans, the thousands of them marching towards our border? Do you see what's going on? We'll talk about that coming up next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Someone just called up a couple of minutes ago when we were talking about how people are now complaining about Cinderella and Snow White, how messages in those cartoons are not positive messages to young girls, and they may be banned pretty soon. We were telling you, if you're just joining us, actress Kristen Bell, another actress, Keira Knightley. They're slamming Snow White and they're slamming Cinderella because, well, the prince can't be kissing someone who's sleeping because he didn't get her permission, and that kind of thing. And they don't know what to tell their daughters. This is where we are now in the hashtag Me Too movement. Someone called up and said, this is a lot like Germany. This is like Nazi Germany. And it makes you wonder, are they going to get rid of Cinderella? Are they going to get rid of Snow White? Because, again, you're talking about, when you're talking about things that were written in the 1930s, and cartoons. But this is where we're at. And I had brought up some of the old Mark Twain books that they're editing. The kids in school either are not being allowed to read them, or if they are allowed to read them, they're being edited, like the N-word being taken out and some things like that. And again, look, that's our past. That's our history. Times were different back then. Should we just erase all of that? Is that a good thing, just to erase it? I've always wanted to keep everything the way it was, and we learn from history. This way, then we're not destined to repeat it. So, anyways, someone called up and said, boy, that just listening to you talk about the Cinderella and Snow White thing, it reminded me of... the Nazis. No. Anyways. Hey, I saw this story, and this reminded me of a story that we did not that long ago. Bride-to-be slammed for giving friends itemized bill. An unidentified woman took to social media yesterday to blast her bride-to-be friend for sending her a breakdown of a bill. From her bachelorette party, and one of the itemized entries included 24 cents for a soft drink.
Now, wait a minute. The now bride is sending itemized bills, invoices to members of the wedding party?
Yes.
That they're expected to pay?
Yes.
Like you had, you drank four Cokes?
Yes. The party's itemized bill listed the total cost of food, gifts, and decor, dividing the cost of each by seven. That's the number of people who attended the bridal party, in the bridal party. The bride-to-be even listed the cost per guest for napkins and M&Ms. 71 cents for napkins, 43 cents for M&Ms. I wonder if those are M&Ms with peanuts or not.
It doesn't sound like it.
I'm looking at the itemized list here. It doesn't say. Alcohol and pizza were the most expensive party items, costing each guest $3.23 and $11.74, respectively. Huh. The pizza was more expensive than the alcohol? The woman said, even though guests were asked to bring their own booze, they ended up paying for the alcohol that the bride-to-be brought.
Where was this held? At a trailer park?
No.
Well, there are so many things wrong with this story.
Well, this reminds me of, remember we did that story a few months ago, Brewster?
Yeah, kind of. I've slept about an hour since then.
The bride-to-be asked everybody coming to her wedding if they could bring cash, and like. A lot of money, and it went viral.
I kind of remember that.
I don't have any details here because I guess when I'm looking, I've got the list in front of me. It's bachelorette expenses. Cupcakes, $6.98. A case of water, watermelon, honeydew, M&Ms, popcorn, lemonade. Pizza, cotton candy, and it tells it breaks it down. They do the division. Because like, there are seven women in this bridal party, and so everything is divided by seven.
Now, when you say bridal party, are we talking about the post-nuptials reception?
No, this is like a bachelorette. This is like the bridal party. Like a woman has a maid of honor and then all the bridesmaids. I guess there were seven of them total.
I don't think that's referred to as a bridal party. You could say that's her bachelorette party.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Okay. I mean, there are pretty cut and dried traditional lines of delineation for who pays for what. And I was looking up, all right, pre-wedding parties. This is according to TheKnot.com. And we will deem them as being the authority on this. Bride's or groom's family plans and hosts the engagement party. If there's more than one, the bride's family hosts the first one. Maid of honor and bridesmaids host the bridal shower and bachelorette party. Groom's family plans and hosts the rehearsal dinner. Best man and groomsmen host the bachelor party. Friends may throw in additional engagement parties or showers. But it doesn't really say who. We go back to bachelorette party. Maid of honor and bridesmaids host the bridal shower and bachelorette party. So I'm not sure why the subsequent bride has a bill when all of this should have been paid for by her bridal party for the bachelorette party.
The only thing we know about this,
for all the women who will be subsequently bridal party.
Well, the only thing we know about this is
I'm getting intel on this right now. Hang on.
The woman's name is Sarah. But one of the bridesmaids was so outraged that she's being charged for this stuff that she put this on social media and it went viral. She didn't want to say the person's last name. I mean, obviously, but she wrote, quote, "This is one of the bridesmaids. I'm sorry, but if you take the time to split the cost of a honeydew by seven, you are insane. The party wasn't even fun because she was trying so hard to make it a picture-perfect party, and it seemed unnatural and more like a business transaction. This is the bachelorette party."
Right, because the bride shouldn't be throwing herself the bachelorette party.
Well, that's what happened.
Right? And I don't blame them for being honked off then.
Yeah, commenters are saying that this was tacky. But yeah, she... she wrote here the macaroons, $3
not the macaroons,
$3.69 divided by seven.
Oh,
cupcakes, $6.98 divided by seven. I guess you could round that off, $6.98. You could round that off to a dollar each.
I don't think this woman is rounding anything off.
Boy, this is something. You know, social media. This is one of the good things about it, because, you know, you learn about things that we never would have known about before. Here's this woman. She's getting married. She's evidently throwing herself a bachelorette party, which
that's very odd.
From what you just said, she shouldn't have to pay for it. And, well, she's not paying for it. She's like, hey, it's my bachelorette party. But here's the bill. Here's macaroons.
Right.
$3.69 divided by my seven bridesmaids.
It should have been thrown for her. Maybe they don't like her. And when you hear comments after the fact saying, nah, the party wasn't that much fun anyway.
What's interesting is they had a couple of different types of drinks.
You have to use 2018, and there's actually a word for this. The party wasn't that much fun anyway. How girls talk now, you know what that has a name? It's called vocal fry. And it was really started kind of by Paris Hilton.
Ugh.
15 years ago?
Oh, if I had heard someone talk like that.
The party wasn't that much fun anyway. That's called vocal fry. It has a name.
If I ever heard someone talking like that for longer than 5 seconds, I would jump out the nearest window. If there wasn't a window nearby, I would run into a wall as hard as I could.
Okay.
So, well, Brewster, she's obviously paying for this. The bachelor, the one who's getting married is paying for this. And because she is, she broke it down. And every itemized list is divided by seven, all of her bridesmaids. Popcorn, $1.99 divided by seven. That's 28 cents each.
Ish.
Yeah, right. Give or take a penny. Give or take a kernel.
Right.
So this is one of the cool things about social media, though. And again, this woman, all we know is her name is Sarah. I don't know her last name. I don't know where she lives. I don't know where the wedding is. But one of her bridesmaids, I guess they all were upset, and one of them said, you know what? I'm going to anonymously put this on social media to share with the world. Cotton candy. $10 divided by 7. That's $1.42 each.
It's a lot for cotton candy.
Yeah, I know. Go figure. Oh, anyways, I thought this was kind of interesting. Just be careful out there, because anything you do on social media, you know, we've talked about it yesterday. We talk about it a lot on the show. Social media has, people have lost their jobs, their careers, their relationships. And sometimes they could just lose a little bit of pride, as we saw right here. Hmm. All right. Hey, last night, there was a blown call in a game that could cost a baseball team a trip to the World Series. It transcends the game of baseball, what happened. We'll talk about that a little bit coming up.
We have audio from it, too.
It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Yesterday, there was an incident at Popeye's on Elysian Fields right near UNO. Lunch hour, too. A man was burned, and his truck was destroyed by a fire in the Popeye's drive-thru over there. He's going to be okay. He just got burns on his arms. But, I mean, I know it sucks for him, but you know who else it sucks for? The people that were behind him in the drive-thru line. You know, it's lunch hour. You probably, a couple people just put their water in. They're waiting. All of a sudden, this guy's truck's on fire, and his arms are burning. And
you think those people went ahead and waited in line for all that to get cleared out, no matter how long it took to get their order.
Or they had to go to another Popeye's or something else. But
and those are the people that you feel the most sorry for.
Well, I said I felt sorry for the guy who burned his arms.
I don't believe you.
But the couple of the people that were there said it smelled like chicken in the drive-thru.
It smelled a lot like chicken. That's the key to that phrase.
Coming up next, we look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. It's about that time of our show where we look at today in history, and we call that segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
October 18th. Well, this is timely. It was today in 1988.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The television show Roseanne debuted. Yeah, today in 1988 was the first time America was introduced to Roseanne. It was Barr, right? And then Arnold, and then Barr again?
Something like that. And then no last name, just Roseanne.
Yeah, and now she's Barred. But Roseanne debuted today in 1988, about a blue-collar American family. You know the whole story. And two nights ago, it was on without her. They changed the name of it to the Connors, and I can't see that lasting very long. Something. October 18th. This is very interesting. The United States took possession and control of Alaska and Puerto Rico, respectively, 31 years apart.
So give us the years here.
Today in 1867.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
United States takes possession of Alaska.
Hmm.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
We purchased the territory from Russia, which can be seen from Sarah Palin's front stoop, for $7.2 million. Boy, in 1867, $7.2 million. That's a lot of...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, no, well, I don't know. That's a lot of money. To be honest with you, though, it was less than 2 cents an acre for Alaska.
Well, my thing only goes back to 1914. How much?
$7.2 million in 1867. What's that worth today?
I can't go that far back.
But a lot.
In 1914, carry the...
Yeah, Alaska is about twice the size as Texas.
Carry the aught. 177 million. Adjusted for inflation, 7.2 million in 1914 is equal to 177 and a half million today.
So we'd say go up to about 250 million.
Something like
that. Yeah. Still pretty cheap, though. Again, less than 2 cents an acre. Try getting acreage for that kind of money today. So that was in 1897. We bought Alaska from the Russians, and then in 1898, a few years later, we took control of Puerto Rico. Now, how come we made Alaska a state, but we never really made Puerto Rico a state, even though Puerto Rico is kind of a state. It's not a state, but
What, do you want an actual answer? I don't know.
Yeah. In 18...
As you know, I'm against adding more states. 50. That's it. That's an end of it. 50.
See, I want to add a few more. Only 1 year... This is in 1898. Only 1 year after Spain granted Puerto Rico self-rule, American troops raised the United States flag over the Caribbean nation, formalizing United States authority over the island's 1 million inhabitants.
The 19th century really excites you, doesn't it?
Well, I just...
You're animated about it.
But we get Alaska and Puerto Rico on the same day. They were separated by a few years, but it all happened on October 18th. Why is one of them a state and the other isn't? I have questions, Brewster. I have serious questions.
I've got questions.
Today in 1931...
Why today doesn't suck?
Thomas Edison died. We lost a bright one today, too. He was one of the most prolific inventors in history. He died at his home in New Jersey. You know how long he lived? He was 84 when he died.
That's a good long life.
Even for back then, are you kidding? Yeah.
Yeah, just for inflation, that would be 117 in dog years. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was on this date, October 18th. 1989.
Why today doesn't suck.
During a Guns N' Roses set supporting the Rolling Stones at the Los Angeles Coliseum, lead singer Axl Rose announced he was quitting the band. That's it. The following night, Axl apologized for saying that he would quit and delivered a 5-minute anti-drug oration.
Yeah, and I remember exactly what he said. He said, "Some people in this band have been dancing too much with Mr. Brownstone." He said that on stage.
It was on this date, October 18th, 1965.
Why today doesn't suck.
The Beatles recorded In My Life at Abbey Road Studios in London. The song goes on to become one of the most acclaimed songs ever. Covered by artists as diverse as James Taylor, Johnny Cash, Ozzy Osbourne, and Keith Moon. Have you ever heard the Ozzy Osbourne and or Keith Moon versions of In My Life? I can honestly say I don't think I have.
I don't know.
Maybe James Taylor and maybe Johnny Cash. Birthdays today. Chuck Berry, born on this date in 1926.
Why today doesn't suck.
And a great guitar player no longer with us from REO Speedwagon, Gary Richrath, born on this date in 1949.
Why today doesn't suck.
I've got...
How about that? Chuck Berry is still alive and the guitarist from REO Speedwagon, is it?
No, Chuck Berry died.
Oh, he did just die.
Yeah.
Not that long ago. Okay.
Also, sad news, on this date, October 18th, 1997.
Why today doesn't suck.
And Mrs. Brewster and I just saw Alice Cooper, a member of the original Alice Cooper band. And if you look at the School's Out album... where they have the desk and it's carvings of everyone's name, and Alice has the AC written larger than everyone else's. But carved into that desk is GB. Glenn Buxton, guitarist for the original Alice Cooper band, died of complications from pneumonia on this date in 1997. He was just 49 years old.
How about that?
And one more. On this date, October 18th, 1988.
Why today doesn't suck.
The Traveling Wilburys, a supergroup including Bob Dylan, George Harrison, Jeff Lynne, Roy Orbison, and Tom Petty, released their debut album, Traveling Wilburys, Volume 1. It goes on to peak at number 3 on the Billboard 200 album chart and sells 3 million copies in the U.S. And, of course, I like to mention how they came about their name. It's from a little inside joke with Jeff Lynne and George Harrison about how if there's something wonky in a particular music track, you say, we'll bury it in the mix. We'll just bury it in the mix. Like, there are times where the Ass Clowns have had either like a sour note or just something wonky. And we just take like a little section where it was good and cover that up to where it was bad. And that's the equivalent of, we'll bury it in the mix.
Yes.
And that turned into the Traveling Wilburys.
Yeah, Chuck Berry died last year. I forgot about that.
Yes.
And one other celebrity birthday, Brewster.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday to action actor Jean-Claude Van Damme. He's 58 today.
Hmm.
And you know what else happened today?
His face is 8. His face is 8 years old.
You know what else happened today?
What happened today?
I remember being a little kid watching this. It was today in 1977.
Why today doesn't suck.
Reggie Jackson hit 3 home runs in a World Series game. Not only did he hit 3 home runs, they were off 3 different pitchers, 3 consecutive pitches.
Right.
And the only time that's ever been done before in a World Series game, Babe Ruth did it. So you got Babe Ruth and Mr. October, Reggie Jackson. That's how he got his nickname, Mr. October.
Mm-hmm.
So, boy, that was something. And October 18th, it was today in 1974.
Why today doesn't suck.
Soul singer Al Green is attacked in his own bathtub. Memphis, Tennessee.
One of the most sorry and bizarre stories ever.
Yeah, an ex-girlfriend burst in on him in his bathtub and poured a pot of scalding hot grits on him in his bathtub.
Now, yeah, do you know what that will do to your bare skin?
Now, is Al Green still alive?
Yes.
Because
very much so.
I know he had issues with drugs. And then
Al Green.
Then he became a reverend.
Right.
And so...
You know what he said when she came bursting in there and poured the hot grits on him? He looked up at her and he said, why? Wow, I brought things to a screeching halt with that. It's quiet. It's quiet in here like a cathedral.
Got the last one right here.
All right. Finally.
Today in 1968.
Why today doesn't suck.
John Lennon and Yoko Ono arrested for drug possession.
There's a shocker.
At their home in London. Montague Square. That's where they were staying at the time.
Hmm.
And that was something, a bunch of weed and stuff.
And that's a segment that we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Hey, speaking of the World Series, coming up, there was a very controversial call last night. And it's one of those things that transcends the game. Stay tuned for that. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. According to the United States Chamber of Commerce, the United States' top export to Central America is petroleum. And Central America's number one export to the United States is diseased immigrants. Coming up next, controversy last night in a baseball game that could cost a team the World Series. Stay tuned for that. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. All right, I just put this video on the Bayou Facebook page. I just put this video up there. This transcends the baseball game. The Houston Astros are playing the Boston Red Sox in the American League Championship Series. Winner goes to the World Series. Game was in Houston last night. In the first inning, Jose Altuve hit what looked like a home run. But the umpire said, no, it's not a home run. It's fan interference. If the fan didn't interfere, the Red Sox outfielder Mookie Betts would have caught the ball. So I'm taking the home run away. It's not a home run. You're out!
Well, now, hold on just a minute there, Chester. He didn't just make the call. You've got 6 umpires because in postseason play you have two additional umpires down the left and right field lines.
Yes.
Just for reasons of controversial things, more or less to get an extra set of eyes closer to the outfield for controversial home run calls like this. So the 6 of them convene, then they get on the headsets to New York, where they have multiple camera angles and can talk about it back and forth. Then they made the call.
The guy who made the call, Brewster, the right field umpire, was 66-year-old.
Joe West.
And I don't want to say morbidly obese, but he's a very large man. Why do they have a 66-year-old, grossly overweight man running down the right field line?
It was Joe West, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because in, I don't know, you want an actual answer to that? I mean,
Brewster,
Joe West is a, I don't know if there's a Hall of Fame for the umpire, a Hall of Fame wing, but I mean, he's...
He's been there forever.
He's been there forever.
He's so big, the other night he was the second base umpire, and he couldn't get out of the way of a throw. A guy was stealing second, and the throw hit him in the shoulder. I think it might be time to move on, Cowboy.
Let's listen to what transpired last night.
Altuve, right field, back there, bats at the track, he leaps, and it is out! It's off a fan, no, they're saying off of bats, it is in play. They may be calling it interference. I'm trying to get a read on the right field umpire here.
Mookie with the jump, he had it measured, it looked like he was going to catch it, and he gets stopped from catching it from the hand of the fan. The fan closed Mookie Betts' glove prematurely because it pushed up against the leather. Did they reach over that yellow line into the field of play, or is Mookie over the field of play into the stands?
Now that's
the question.
So the rule states if a spectator reaches out onto the playing field side of a fence to prevent a fielder from catching a ball, batsman should be called out. And out is the call. Wow.
The video of that play, we just put that video on the Bayou Facebook page. Go see for yourself. I think the Astros got the screws.
There is no, it's not like football where there is a, where there's a perceived plane. And once that plane is broken, then the call is over. There's nothing like that in baseball. But now having heard, and I saw it but I, last night, but we were playing trivia and I saw it without the benefit of any commentary, just watching it with no sound. It appears, having heard these announcers and then putting that together with having seen the video, that the one who is crossing into the other one's territory is Mookie Betts into the stands.
Yes.
Not the fans crossing over the field play.
Exactly.
And therefore it's a home run.
Yes. If the fan sticks his hand into the field of play, then it is interference.
Correct.
But if Mookie Betts' glove is over the wall, reaching into the stands, the fan could rip his glove off if he wants. He could literally take his glove off. That's fan territory.
I never saw an angle from either side to see where that, even though there is no, how do I put this? I never saw the video from the side to see whether or not, to see how far into the stands Mookie Betts was.
It was close.
Now, the only argument that you could make, and it's the one that I told you that I thought the call was right, was that the fan's bare flesh hand does appear to close the glove of Mookie Betts just at the moment that he's about to catch the ball. And rather than the ball going into the pocket, it goes into the, or hits off the heel.
But if Mookie Betts,
none of that is,
if Mookie Betts' glove is over the wall.
Correct. None of that matters.
No, the fan could literally rip his glove off if he wants.
Here's the question. Will they rescind that call?
No.
Will the league look at that
No.
and say, we've got to play the game from that at bat forward?
No. 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 No, they can't. They can't.
No, they could, but they won't.
They won't. And that screwed the Astros out of two runs, and they lost last night. We don't know what would have happened if that home run stood as a home run.
Right.
But now the Houston Astros are down 3-1, and it looks like the Boston Red Sox are going to the World Series because it's going to be really hard to come back and win 3 in a row against them.
But again, that's the beauty of baseball. You can never say, though, that it was that one play that cost them the game. You don't know what would have happened. That's the imaginary brass ring of baseball that you try to grab onto this concept, and you can't say that play if they, in fact, don't go on to the World Series, you can't say that that play was the reason. Because let's say they lose the next game. You know, they lose the deciding game. They go seven games in the playoffs or five? They used to go five.
No, this is best of seven.
Seven, okay.
This is best of seven.
But since they started the wild card and all that, I can't keep track of it. And I don't have any dogs in this fight at all, so I'm barely paying attention to it.
No, I'm a Yankee fan, so
but it's
I think Houston got the screws last night, because once I'm watching it again right now, his Mookie Betts's glove is in, it's over the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's over the wall in the stands. That fan has the right to rip his glove off his hand if he wants.
Well, you're saying that is the worst.
Yeah, but he's still allowed to do that.
Right. He could reach out and pour a beer into Mookie Betts's glove. I wouldn't recommend that.
This is one of those things that transcends the game. We're going to get to a point, Brewster, where they're going to just put up a net.
I told you that.
Or something.
They already have netting now. For the danger of foul balls and sometimes bats flying into the stands from one far end of the dugout to the other far end of the dugout, encompassing all the way around home plate like it's always been as far as long as I can remember. They will eventually get to the point where no seats, which are along the field at all, including the outfield, they'll all have netting.
They're going to get to the point, yeah.
They'll just do
it. I don't know how long it's going to take, but it'll get to the point where there cannot be the possibility of fan interference anymore.
Right.
Because this is ridiculous, and this was the first inning. You know, who knows what would have happened.
Right.
It's a two-run homer.
It's a big deal.
You know, and the Astros lost last night, and I think they got the screws. I really do, and it's one of the. This is something that transcends the game. Fans getting involved, and again, if you didn't see it or you want to see a really good view of it, go to the Bayou Facebook page. We just put the video up there a couple of minutes ago. So, isn't that something? Hey, I stand by what I said when we started this whole thing. I don't think a 66-year-old, heavily overweight man should be the right or left field umpire running down the foul lines in World Series and Division Championship Series. I think that needs to change too. Coming up, a Vietnam War hero just got arrested for having the weapon that he carried in Vietnam. Stay tuned for that report on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Hey, so Paul McCartney has a new album out. He's coming to New Orleans. We talked about that. In his new video, for one of his songs off his new album, it's shot here in New Orleans. One of the stars of the video is one of the 6'10 Stompers. You know that funny group? Mike Marina. He also works at the New Orleans Public Library, but he's one of the 6'10 Stompers, and he's a star in the new Paul McCartney video, which was shot here in New Orleans. How cool is that? Remember a few years ago, there was a picture of Paul McCartney just sitting on one of the streetcars, and he was just taking a ride. He wasn't in town for anything. He wasn't scheduled to play. He was just here. He loves this town. Hey, coming up next, a Vietnam War hero. He's got arrested for a gun that he had in Vietnam. We're going to tell you all about it on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford. Check this story out. Vietnam war hero sentenced to 7 years in prison for decades-old rifle purchase. A decorated Vietnam veteran, and he's a gun collector. He's a firearms collector. Just got sentenced to 7 years in federal prison yesterday for a rifle he purchased decades ago. 70-year-old Alfred Pick purchased the M14, a fully automatic weapon illegal to own, at a Fort Worth, Texas gun show in the early 1980s. The rifle has a scratched-off serial number. It was similar to the one that Alfred Pick used as an Army lieutenant when he served in Vietnam and when he was in the war in Vietnam, where he earned a Silver Star after participating in more than 100 combat missions. and he spent time as a POW. Should this man go to prison, for federal prison, for 7 years? He's a Silver Star winner. He saved lives. This one guy, Mark Shackelford, who's a friend of his, went to the media after this ruling yesterday, and he's not happy. He said, quote, this man won a Silver Star. He saved lives. He took care of his wife. He's been in custody for a year. I would think that when a man turns 70 and is an American hero, you don't destroy the rest of his life for one mistake. His buddy, and that's Mark Shackelford, a friend of this guy, Alfred Pick. Shackelford called the weapon the piece de resistance of Pick's collection, adding that, quote, he had shown it to me. I've never seen it taken out of the case. So there's no doubt that it's an illegal weapon. We're not allowed to own fully automatic weapons here in this country. But it was, the guy's a gun collector. It was never out of its case. And he's a Vietnam military hero. Should he have to do the 7 years in federal prison because he owned this gun that is illegal to own?
Of course not, but he should have treated it like a museum piece and either bolt down the pin so it can't move or whatever to make it unfireable.
Well,
because isn't that the issue, that it is fireable?
This started last year.
That's a problem.
But here's, this started last year with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives. Did you know they added explosives to that? It's now the ATFE. It's like how the LGBT added the Q. Well, last year, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, agents from that outfit, went looking for the rifle when they raided this guy's Plano, Texas home 2 weeks after his wife died of cancer. And they found the weapon. And he's had it, again, since the early 80s. Never did anything with it. Never took it out of its case. Obviously never robbed the bank or shot anybody. Some are saying, and some of his Vietnam veteran friends are on the other side of the argument. They're saying he should have known better since the rifle's serial number was scratched out. That seems to be the big deal here. I don't think this guy should have to spend the next 7 years in federal prison for owning this gun. He's a gun collector. He's a firearms collector. And again, he bought this gun in the early 80s, and yet the gun, it's illegal to own because it's a fully automatic weapon. It's an M14, and it's illegal to own. But this guy, Vietnam veteran, kept it in a case. He's a collector.
You keep saying he's a collector. Shouldn't a collector know better?
That's what some of his friends are saying.
No, I'm not saying you should do. I don't know. Well, but he should know better.
Well, this is one of those things where the keyboard warriors can get involved if they want. You know, you can go to Facebook or you can go and you could probably support this guy. Again, his name is Alfred Pick, just like the guitar pick. And he's 70 years old now. Should he be spending the next 6 to 7 years in a federal prison, a highly decorated combat veteran of Vietnam, over 100 combat missions. And he did get captured. He spent a little bit of time as a POW. Won a Silver Star. Should one mistake that this guy made, the scratched off serial number on a M14, a fully automatic weapon that is illegal to own in this country, again, he's a gun collector. He's a firearm collector. But that scratched off serial number is what got him in trouble here. And if he's already been in prison for several months, upwards of a year, Isn't that enough time? Hasn't he done enough time? I mean, the guy was a POW in Nam. I'd like to see justice for Pick. That's what I would like to see.
You just created that group on Facebook, Justice for Pick.
Oh, thanks for doing that for
You're welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate you doing that for me. JFP. So,
I do what I can.
Hopefully.
I do as little as I can, but I do what I can.
Again, the guy should be let out of prison. He's owned that gun since the early 80s, and it never left the case. It never left his collection inside of his home.
Do you think that every law should be adjudicated on an individual basis?
See,
you think our court systems are backed up now?
Yeah. See, you and I disagree over things like this because
the law does not have time to play itself out like you would want to.
See, I see most things black and white. You see everything black and white.
Well, yeah.
I see some wiggle room. I see some wiggle room in between the black and the right and the white. I see the gray area.
See,
sometimes.
Here's what you want to do. You want to jump ahead past sentencing, or I mean, you want to jump ahead past conviction, and move right to sentencing, where judges have providence to take into consideration war veteran, decorated, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
You can't do that prior to conviction. We don't. The law does not work that way. You don't say, well, he was a good guy. He kept to himself. He's a war veteran. We won't charge him with this crime.
So let the judge do that. It's the judge's discretion.
Right. And it's no one's discretion as to whether or not he broke the law. You don't get to say, well, I was well-intentioned, and I'm sorry that the weapon fell into the hands of a child and tragedy ensued. And yes, I'm talking about something that didn't happen, but it could. And I think that's why we have laws about not having ownership of weapons, military weapons like this. And I'm not going down the whole road of so-called autumn. You know, we're not. That's not what this is about.
No. And Brewster, you. I know you like it when I always say, but I promise I hope to have a happy follow up to this story in the near future.
Good.
I hope to be able to come to you one day very soon on this show and say, Alfred Pick's out of prison. The Vietnam hero. All right. Coming up on the show, we're going to do a See Who Died. This is a very interesting one coming up. And I'll give you a hint. What is it?
It's not a game show. It's
but it's not. What does it mean when the person who finds your dead body is Ron Jeremy?
We'll find out next.
On Bayou 95.7.
Hedgehog.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Hey, something we missed during Why Today Doesn't Suck, Brewster. Today is National Get Smart About Credit Day.
Hmm.
Or as Congress calls it, Thursday. And one other thing. Did you know this whole month of October? This is National Bullying Prevention Month.
Hmm.
If you don't participate, I'm going to kick your butt, you stupid loser. All right, coming up next, we're going to do a See Who Died. And I asked this question earlier. I said, what does it mean when Ron Jeremy finds your dead body? And then Brewster said to me, he found Paul Allen's body? Different guy. And that's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock, Led Zeppelin there.
What? Zeppelin!
John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. See Who Died? I saw this. This was pretty surprising because this guy was running for political office.
Well, that happens.
He was maybe America's most famous legal pimp. Dennis Hoff. He became known because he owned 7 brothels in the state of Nevada.
Most famously, go ahead. The Bunny Ranch.
The Moonlight Bunny Ranch. Yes, that was his most famous one. And he owned them around Nevada. You know, Nevada's a weird state. Some counties, prostitution is legal. Other counties, like where Las Vegas is, it's not legal. But you go to the middle of nowhere in Nevada, there are counties where prostitution's legal, and that's where he owned his 7 legal brothels in the state of Nevada. But he was running for... He was a libertarian, but he switched to a Republican so he could run. He was running for state office, and it looked like he was going to win the elections that are coming up in a couple of weeks. But now... I wonder if they'll still elect a guy who just died. I wonder if they will still go and vote for him. That'd be something, to elect a dead man.
He could be voted for. He can't be elected.
Do you know who found his body? The porn star Ron Jeremy. And evidently, yeah, he walked in. He thought that he thought the pimp, Dennis Hoff, was just sleeping. Ron Jeremy walked by, and he kicked him, and... He wasn't moving. Then he had to call 911.
Okay, you're making that part up.
No.
Ron Jeremy actually kicked him.
Well, he wanted to make sure he didn't know. He thought he could be sleeping on the floor, Brewster. This guy's a pimp.
When you're going to wake someone up, is that what you do? You go to kick him?
Well, you nudge him with your foot. If you see someone on the floor, he's your friend.
And you're still single.
Well, you nudge him with.
You wanted to see if your girlfriend was still awake. I kicked her.
Dennis Hoff, and his last name, H-O-F. I don't know if that's Dutch or not. But he was also, besides being a pimp, he was a best-selling author. He wrote the book, The Art of the Pimp. The guy has lectured at Oxford University in England. And he was running for state office, I believe state representative or state senator.
I guess we're done with Ron Jeremy, aren't we?
Yeah, you can go back to Dennis Hoff now. But this guy, you know, his interviews were always great as well. He is, he said that I don't date civilians, unquote, meaning non-working girls.
Right.
Non-prostitutes. You know who his last girlfriend was?
I'm afraid to have you tell me, but who?
Heidi Fleiss.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Well, she's younger than he is.
Oh. I can't. Didn't we come down on different sides of this years ago?
Well, years ago.
Oh, she was never attractive. Heidi Fleiss.
I thought in a skanky way, Heidi Fleiss was kind of good looking.
Not even in a skanky way. After the show, I've got a book here that's got some skanky. We'll look at it. But oh, not Heidi Fleiss. Nasty. Nasty.
But this guy, Dennis Hoff, was a real life pimp. I mean, you see these rappers like Snoop Dogg, they tell you they're pimps.
Right.
And they sing about being pimps, they rap about being pimps. Mm-hmm. This guy lived the life of a pimp. He really was a pimp, and as a matter of fact, like I told you, he said, quote, I don't date civilians, non-working girls. That's what he said. And he had dated Sunset Thomas. I guess she's a porn star. And like I said, you know who he was good friends with? He was good friends with Tucker Carlson.
The guy, really?
Like, yeah, who has the nighttime show, one of the nighttime shows on the Fox News Channel.
Well, he was a frequent guest with Bill Cunningham, who I listen to in Cincinnati. I think he kind of made the rounds with the right-wing
radio
and TV hosts.
Well, being a Republican, and he was a libertarian before
right.
That's less government. That's what I am, by the way, a libertarian, less government intrusion in our lives.
And you're a wannabe pimp, too.
Well, no, not really.
No? Oh.
But, I guess him and Tucker Carlson, he had said that they communicated, they texted daily for a while. And I guess Tucker Carlson every once in a while would ask Dennis Hoff for ideas for a show. Who knows if Tucker Carlson went out to Nevada and asked his friend Dennis Hoff for other things when he went out there. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know.
I wonder if the bow tie look is big at the Moonlight Bunny Ranch. Yeah. Tucker Carlson and his bow tie.
Well, he gave that up a little while. Yeah, he's wearing regular ties
now.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, he gave up the bow tie.
Hmm.
But just a very interesting guy, Dennis Hoff. And I wonder what's going to happen with that election. I bet you in 2 weeks, in a couple of weeks, when people go to the polls and vote, the midterm elections, I bet you Dennis Hoff is still going to win, even though he's dead. What, you want to bet breakfast?
I don't think he can win. That's the point. But I'm not going to make a bet until I know the lay of the land.
If his name is still on the ballot, even though he's dead, you're voting in memory of.
Oh, I'm going to open a vein right here on the show. I don't believe that's... I don't know. I mean, you might be right. I would imagine there are provisions in... I don't know.
Did he have a will? Wouldn't it be something if it said in his will, if I die before this election and I win?
Ron Jeremy serves.
Either Ron Jeremy the Hedgehog or whoever's the general manager of one of his brothels.
Yes.
You know, maybe one of the women. Maybe,
sure.
Maybe one of the... One
maybe
of,
Sunset Thomas.
Maybe her. Wouldn't that be something?
Yes.
R.I.P. Dennis Hoff, dead at 72. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So Facebook posts may reveal people's depression, according to a new study. I don't think I needed that study to tell me that, because I can tell. I've got a bunch of Facebook friends, and I see posts, and, you know.
You seem to have Facebook friends that no one else has.
Well, and I don't know most of my Facebook friends.
Well,
it's just because I've always used it for the radio show.
That's the key right there.
But I sit there and you know, you've seen me do this, Brewster, and I've seen other people that I work with. If you see me just shaking my head looking at a computer screen, that means I'm reading some of my Facebook friends' posts.
Right.
And it never ceases to amaze me what some people will put on Facebook.
Right. Out there for everyone's viewing.
Yeah, and now this
incredibly personal stuff, incredibly private stuff.
Yes.
Incredibly morbid stuff sometimes.
Stuff that I would never even think about putting on Facebook. But anyways, Facebook posts might be able to predict whether users are suffering from depression, according to a new study.
I think that's in the journal. Duh.
Well, yeah. Like I said, I don't know if I needed this study.
Right.
But this is actually, this study is being printed in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. That rag?
Yeah.
And the researchers found that the words people use in their posts indicate whether they are in need of mental health support for possible depression.
Hmm.
And again, With some of my Facebook friends' posts, it's I don't need any study to tell me that. Brewster, let's do something here, because I'm looking at one of my friends' Facebook posts right
okay.
now.
All right,
and it's kind of. Did you want to do a new feature on the show? Yeah. All right, I'm going to read one of my Facebook friends' posts.
We'll try this out. See how it goes.
Okay.
Rather than say we're going to do this, we're just going to do it.
Okay.
Yes.
It's been 20 years, Mom. Happy birthday in heaven. This doesn't get any easier. That was one of my friend's Facebook posts. And evidently, he does this every year on his mother's birthday.
Right.
Brewster, she's been gone for 20 years. And he said... It doesn't get any easier.
Right. One would think it would get easier.
Yeah, you would.
As time goes by.
You would think this year's tribute to your dead mom would be a little bit easier than, I don't know, the last 19?
What about the guy who posts wants to know what everyone's having for dinner? Are there any buzzwords in his post that might lead to maybe he has some mental illness going on?
That's another one of my Facebook friends. Every night, and it's not quite about the same time, but it's within an hour or so, If I check my Facebook feed, he'll always ask the same question every night, wondering what his Facebook friends are having for dinner tonight. And then people either will tell him or they'll take a picture of their dinner and they'll show.
Many just unfriend him.
And I just have two questions. Why would he ever ask and care? And then why would anyone ever answer?
Or many just unfriend him.
Well, that's our new Facebook segment. On the show. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. I thought this story I'm about to tell you was fake news, and then I had to go double and triple check it to make sure, and it's not fake news.
Did you run it by me?
I'm doing that right now.
Okay.
There's a new cereal that's going to be on shelves for a limited time.
I'm dubious already.
The Golden Girls themed cereal. And the cereal box has a picture. Remember the TV show The Golden Girls? And it's got a picture. They're animated, but it looks just like them. It's the three women and then one of the women's mothers. The Golden Girls cereal. It's called Funkos. It says they're fun to eat. It's a tasty treat. It's a new cereal paying tribute to a sitcom that's an old favorite. One toy company, and the name of the toy company is Funko. And they're coming up with this golden way to sell more toys. The Golden Girls themed cereal is now on sale at select Target stores.
Apparently it's a Target exclusive.
Or you can get it online.
Right.
The box, like I just described the cover, depicts the iconic sitcom's four central characters animated. Dorothy and Blanche and Sophia and Rose. Each box comes with a collectible figurine inside. So maybe you'll want to get, if you're a Golden Girls fan, you know, that show was pretty funny. If you're a Golden Girls fan, you might want to collect all four. The company Funko makes both the cereal and the toy. But if you don't say it properly, it could sound dirty.
Well, that's why I'm glad you're the one who's, I'm sitting here with my finger on the chicken switch, no matter who says it.
They look good. They're blue O's. They look like purple Fruit Loops. That's what they look like.
You see, I see like a lighter blue.
Some sort of blue.
Do you lose your man card, though, when you say that the Golden Girls was pretty funny?
I said pretty funny.
I know. Do you lose your man card?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
The Golden Girls cereal. Funkos. It's a tasty treat. And go eat some Golden Girls.
Coming to a Target near you.
Yeah. Go figure. You said you're going to be going to London next year, right?
That's what Mrs. Brewster and I are planning. I went, and the passport procedure is done. Just waiting to get that back in the mail. And then either the end of June or the beginning of July in 2019, we're going to take a little hop across the pond, as they say.
Yeah, I loved it when I was over there. It's a cool place. The only thing you got to get used to a little bit, they don't love their beer as cold as we Americans like our beer.
I've heard that.
Still kind of cold, but it's not as cold.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm really looking forward to it. I've never been. I mean, Mrs. Brewster's been many times, but I've never been that way. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, the only other biggest difference is the dental work.
Yes.
So the temperature of the beer and the dental work.
Yes.
So, hey, thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Ginty is next. Ginty! Music Notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30. We'll tell you to
5:30, 5:31, 5:32.
Including the dumbest thing we read all week and a lot more.
Yeah.
It's Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.